Let's take your Bible this morning and let's pick up two passages, the first in Mark chapter 4 and the second in 1 John chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 4. This morning, continuing on with our year-long theme of progressing in the faith, we'll cover the next topic. And today's topic, we'll get around to it eventually. We're going to introduce the topic today, and we'll probably have two more messages on this particular one. But the theme for the next couple of weeks, the next couple of 3 weeks, is progressing in passing. Progressing in passing is what we'll be taking a look at. I'll give you more to go on here in just a little bit. In Mark chapter 4, very familiar passage. I want to read it for you. Listen again like you have fresh, brand new ears. Listen to it this morning. In verse 35, and it says, "In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Keep that in the background of your mind as a visit with you for just a little bit here. We're going to move over to 1 John, set the table, and come back over here in just a few moments. The word vocation, vocation, comes from the Latin word vocare. And the word means to call. The Bible teaches us that God sends holy callings to His children. First is the call to salvation. He calls us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. The calling to salvation is a heavenly calling, according to Hebrews chapter 3. It's a calling of grace according to Galatians chapter 1. And the calling to salvation resides in God's faithfulness according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Once we've heeded the call to eternal life, we are expected, because we are equipped, to make that salvation known. How? Now we take a look over at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Looking at verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Here in these verses are what God had in mind when he put forward his great plan of salvation. This is how he wanted to see it worked out. This is where he was heading, where he was headed when he put forth the plan of salvation. This is what was in mind, in view, where he wanted that to take those that he loved. The Christian life is not just believing a doctrine or adding some new things into an old life or taking some old things out of a new life. It's having new life. Having something out of His Spirit imparted to us. Only way that new life comes about. Having something out of His Spirit imparted to our life. That's what he's getting at over here in verse 13. Here's how we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. His desire is for us to live according to what He's placed in us, imparted to us, equipped us with, which is His Spirit. We do not see the wind today. What we do see are the effects of the wind. We see leaves rustling on a breezy day. We see a weather vane swinging its arrow to point the direction that the wind is coming from. We see clouds that are pushed across the sky. We see a boat with sails full gliding across the sea. We see a baby startling as the wind puffs in their face and them and takes their breath away. We don't see the wind. What we do see are the effects of the wind. The Spirit of God we cannot see. God we cannot see. Tells us plainly here that we cannot see Him. You do not see the Spirit, you do not see God, but we can see the effects of God. An older saint, no longer able to physically do for themselves, finds a truck in the driveway and a bunch of men from their church taking care of the yard and necessary things around the house. Mom's down. She's not okay physically. And day by day, the doorbell rings, and when the door is opened, there's food delivered and help with the daily chores that happen around the house. A financial noose begins to tighten around someone's neck. And that day in the gathering, in the assembly, they get a green handshake. Or the mail comes in a card, and inside the card, some much needed relief from the financial noose that's tightening around them. A young girl makes mistakes, gets pregnant, no husband. And instead of walking away from the young girl, a church steps towards her. We do not see God, but we see the effects of God. We do not see the Spirit, but we see the effects of the Spirit of God moving in his people. And all of us know what it's like to be treated in a way that's not God's way. To have the hot breath of ungodliness as a furnace on our face. We all see the effects of have received the effects of ungodliness. But it is a breath of fresh air to see the effects of godliness. When God took our sins and placed them on His willing Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then judged and punished Him for those sins, it was the greatest demonstration of love ever. God's judged and He's punished Him for our sins. He took our place. And when He saves our soul, He puts that love in us. That's what He embeds in us. That's what He equips us with. That's what He places in us from His Spirit into us. That it might be worked out through us. That God might be seen in our actions. That God might be seen in our lives, a new life that we have. That we, the world around us and other believers might see and be affected by what God has placed in us. He embeds that love in us, in our spirit, and He connects us to Himself. He does that with a quiet, gentle, firm, and unbreakable bond that moves us to love, that moves us to preach, that moves us to serve, that moves us to sing, to work, to build. To be a part of the mission work. Wherever He's called you to work, whatever vocation you have, we have to understand that He's called us to that. And wherever He's called you to work, whether that be fields or whether that be the oil patch or teaching or home or whatever your vocare, your calling from God, He's called you to let people see God in you in those circles. We all have different vocares. We all have different callings with regard to our vocation, with regard to our profession, in respect of our earthly jobs. We all have a responsibility in all of that. We all have the privilege, and we all have the quickening, the gifting, if you will, to be able to reveal the glory of God in all of these things that we've been called to do. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We have been called to fill the earth with His glory. And in doing what we've been called to do and allowing the world to see God working through us, that new life is what makes that difference and fills this earth with His glory, you see. One by one by one by one, we add to the pool of those that are revealing the glory of God and pointing to His majesty. We all have different callings with respect to what we do for a living. But there's two areas in which we all have a calling that is exactly the same. And His purpose in these two areas is exactly the same. as His purpose is in those that we've already discussed, that His glory might fill the earth, that men might see God through you. The callings to which all believers are appointed, the callings which we all share, the two that I'm referring to this morning, are suffering and passing. Suffering and death. These are the callings that we've all been called to. We've all been called to suffer. And we've all been called to pass, to die. There will be a generation of believers who will not see death. The Lord will return. They'll meet Him in the clouds and be with Him forevermore. An exception to the rule will be made. God has outlined the exception, told us to watch for it, and to wait for it, and to look for it. And everybody from Paul to this day has looked for it and watched for it and waited for it. And many along the way have watched for it till their last day and have passed and gone through suffering and the passing that culminates in. God's holy calling to suffer and die is as much a part of His plan for our lives as a call to ministry. It comes to every one of us from a kind and merciful and caring Father. But yet very few of us understand it that way. We have to recognize that suffering and death are ministries that we're called to, that we might show the highest honor and praise to our God and to our Savior while we're in the midst of them, while we're in the midst of the suffering, and while we're in the midst of the passing. Regardless of where we live or where we're born, regardless of the color of our skin or the government that we have to endure, the theology that we embrace, no matter how loved or how secure we are in the things of this world, every child of God is called to travel the road of suffering and death. We really learn nothing new, nothing fresh, nothing vivid about the Lord except what's revealed on the darkest nights, when we grab the hem of the garment of His Word and cling to it with all that we've got, and pull it to our face and allow it to speak peace to our troubled soul. However dark and terrible and fierce the storm, the calm can settle on our soul as the realization breaks on us that God has willed it this way. The disciples in Mark chapter 4 had not gone out and jumped in the ship, turned and said, "Later, Lord," and headed out across the sea. The story tells us that the Lord gave the order. The Lord gave the order for everyone to load up. "Let us pass over unto the other side." It was at the Lord's command that they got into the ship, at the Lord's behest that they entered into this ship on this day. So many times we tell the story and we predicate the story by talking about how vicious and horrible the storms are on Galilee, and how that bowl-shaped situation that is there, and seas can be dead calm one minute, and then over the mountains comes this cloud and dips down into the sea and turns it into a veritable tempest of sorts. And in so doing, what we subconsciously relay and relate is that this caught everybody by surprise. that nobody knew that this was coming. Yet we forget who was in the boat, who was in the ship, the creator of that wind, creator of those mountains and that sea, the one who was before the beginning, in the beginning, and be here after the ending. He's in the boat. He's in the ship. I don't believe that it caught him by surprise in any of these things. Often we tell the story that way. It was not a surprise to him, the one that slept in the hinder part of the ship. Truth is, he led them into the storm. He led them into the storm that day. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Those disciples, terrified disciples, were in a ship full of water, lashed with a howling gale, driving rain, because Christ had directed them to be in the ship. Have you ever had a day like that? Everything was going along just fine. Everything was rocking along like it should be. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out of left field comes something that just grabbed you, terrified you, created such an unease and an unrest in you that you didn't know if you were ever going to make it through it. What about a week like that? You ever had a week like that? About a month of it. Don't know what's up, what's down. What if it turned out to be the rest of whatever of your life is left? Because we don't know when that's coming. What if it turns out to be the rest of whatever life you have? Trials bring us to our knees, don't they? The crushing circumstances keep our vision from seeing more than one step at a time sometimes. Sometimes all we find ourselves doing is breathing in and pushing some breath out. Sometimes it comes suddenly. Sometimes it builds over a short period of time. But regardless, we find ourselves not able to look more than just that far ahead of us. Just that far. One step, if that. Shaky steps sometimes. Sickness reduces us sometimes to sitting, laying, sighing. Sorrow can wash over our soul. It doesn't make sense what's happening. I can't fix it. It doesn't look like it's turning around. We hurt. And we take stock. And as good Christians, we take a look and say, what have I done wrong? What did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? And we go through and we confess everything that we've ever confessed before. Ask the Lord to forgive us for everything that we've already asked Him to forgive us for. And we go back through the list and back through the list because I must have brought this on me. There must be something that I've done wrong. There must be something that I'm missing here. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Sometimes there's plenty to own up to when sufferings come. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes there's plenty to own up to. But when we've made the list and we've checked it twice, and we're assured in our heart that we're as clean as we know to be before a holy and righteous God, what then? Do not make the mistake of thinking that all suffering is because we've taken the wrong path. The disciples were in the course of full obedience to the Lord here. They were on the pathway of full obedience to the Lord, and yet they were crushed by the storm. They were terrified by what took place here. And with the Lord only steps away from them. Just steps away. He went through it all with them. The storms that come into our life strip away self. They lay bare our vulnerabilities. And they show us our dependence on the captain of our ship. You'll not stop suffering, and you'll not stop death. They are inevitable callings that God has on each of our lives. But God has equipped you. God has tethered you to Himself. And no matter how full the boat becomes, it will not sink. That's a miracle in and of itself. No matter how full your boat is, He's in it. And it's not sinking. Men cannot see God, but they can see you. Show them His glory in the sufferings. Show this world the glory in the sufferings that He's called you to. He's called you to that thing. And if that suffering should lead to death, and you're called home, then do something that the world cannot understand. And sing, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." We're all called to it. And everything that we're called to is a call to give God glory. In everything that comes into our life, we are called to give God the glory. Is it well with your soul this morning? Can you go through what you're going through? Is your boat getting full? Child of God, He's in there with you. Child of God, He's right there, going through these things. And He is worthy to receive honor and power and glory for all the things that we go through in this life. The simple thing, as we set the stage for passing, progressing in this area of passing, I'm going to give you some very practical things over the next couple of weeks, some very practical teachings about this. But I want you to understand the very basic simplicity of this, that we are all called to go through suffering and death, which unites us in this thing. We are united by the Spirit of God. Out of His Spirit, He has embedded that in us. All of this is designed for Him to receive glory and honor. The whole thing works out through love. He loved us first, and He put love in us so that we could love back. We couldn't even love back until He loved us first. Saved our soul and put love in us that we could return love for love. It's all about Him. Men can't see God. Take this with you this week. Men can't see God, but they can see you. They can see you. And the implication being that they ought to be able to see the effects of God in your life as it works out through you. Let's stand for prayer.